Thanks for tuning to Digital Voices Podcast, where we chat digital transformation, challenges and opportunities across healthcare and life sciences. And now, your host, Ed Marks.
Hi, this is Ed, and welcome to pod number 2. This podcast is Digital Voices, which crosses the continuum from payers and providers and pharma and biotech and patients. And today we're really going to talk about digital voices in terms of the clinician inventor. So not just the clinician perspective, but also what it's like to be a clinician inventor. So welcome, really excited to share this time with you. I was just thinking about the topic and I recalled back in graduate school, like a long time ago, I think it was the late 80s at Colorado State University, there were a few of us who were looking for a project and thinking about starting a business. And I had a friend who had already done some microbiology services business in the Denver, Colorado area. And so we thought about replicating his success more in the northern Colorado area. And so it's funny, I was doing a little research. I don't keep a lot of stuff, but I actually found, for those who have visual, I actually found the paper we wrote. It's a BK635, which I think is a marketing class at Colorado State University. It was dated 27 February 1989. It's kind of fun to look at the graphics because they're all plotter point printers, if anyone remembers these, and a graph like had any sort of color in it would take like 30, 45 minutes to create. And it was kind of funny. And so I actually found the brochures that we created as well. So again, Colorado Microtech. And what we did, or what the business did, is provided microbiology services in the physician offices. Because back in the day, you either sent all your blood work and things of that nature, strep tests, you sent it, and including sterilization of instruments, you would send it either to a hospital or some sort of lab that you would recognize today, like a LabCorp. So instead, we disrupted the model by providing these services in the office. So we'd have a little incubator, a little sterilization capability, and we did it for half the price and half the time. So instead of waiting for, you know, 48 hours for a strep result or something, we would do it, you know, in 12 hours. And again, half the cost, half the time. It was really a brilliant business model. It's not something that any of us were able to keep up with as we graduated and things of that nature, but it just reminded me just of that entrepreneurial spirit. So that's why I've asked Dr. Brian Danza to be our guest talking about clinician and inventors. And so Brian has a really interesting background in terms of invention. He was 15 years old when he first got his patent for industrial roofing emulsion. So it's pretty cool. And then he started his own company, which I'm going to let him speak about. And he got into digital health through when he was an intern at Geisinger, working in the ICU and seeing the whole potential. So his life theme, his message is really about commitment to patient-centered, data-driven changes to reimagine the healthcare experience. So he says passion is necessary for change, for transformation, but it takes a lot more than passion. So Brian, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Ed. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so Brian and I already connected before, so if you want to see us in action, we did a webinar together, which is available on the hcigroup.com website. If you want to look into that, it was really good, really practical things from a clinician point of view on all things digital. So we have a finite amount of time, so we're going to jump right in. And Brian, take 2 or 3 minutes to tell us your story. I covered a little bit about it, but go into a little bit more in depth and tell us a little bit how you came to and start a company and how you actualize your whole experience as a clinician inventor at University Hospitals there in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, thanks. So I think, you know, you hit on a lot of the high points. You know, part of my interest in innovation and digital health comes about from just kind of naturally being that way since I was a young kid. I always liked sort of figuring out how things work, see if we can make them work better. And when I was in high school, actually, as you mentioned, I got a chance to work in a lab. And a lot of it was this sort of high school experience, and you go in, you see how things work. And I took an interest to it and sort of started tinkering with things and started showing the people who work there things that I was producing. And they said, hey, you know, that's not bad. Like, why don't you try this or try that? And ended up, you know, collaborating with a few of them to develop a new roofing emulsion that worked in industrial roofs. And so that was sort of my first sort of taste, and I really enjoyed the whole process that went around that. And I kind of took that with me as I went through, you know, my career, and medicine was always an interest for me. But part of what I've always been interested in with healthcare is, you know, how can we make things work better? And a lot of that really revolves around how do we interact with our patients better, and how can we really get outside the box of those, you know, those four talk about, you know, whether it's an operating room or a clinic. How do we get beyond that in reimagining that patient experience? Because I think we're taught in medicine, and this is, I think, helpful in some cases and can also be a detractor, is we're taught that, you know, you interact with patients a certain way. And historically, it's always been that in-person visit. And it's a very sort of very finite way that we interact with them. But as we've grown and we've found that, you know, many things influence a patient's healthcare, how we interact with patients is really expanding. And it's not just in the office. It's not just in the operating room. It's at home. It's preventative care. It's a lot of different things. So that really drove me at Geisinger initially as an intern to really sort of try to figure out, okay, what else can we do beyond just the audio video visit? You know, how can we do more than just replicate patient care? And so that sort of drove me to think, well, there's got to be other options out there. And when I looked around, I was happy with some and not with others. And for me, what became a passion was trying to improve the acute and urgent care experience, which became the company I started called SmartDocMD. And so I've had the chance to collaborate with other companies and other individuals who are interested in innovation to try and really provide value to that equation of, you know, how do we provide high quality care at a reduced cost. And so that really brings me to where I was able to do that here at University Hospitals today, is working as a medical director for digital health here and trying to bring that sense of innovation to a large health system.
No, that's awesome. And it's just interesting, the whole trajectory, how you went, how it really was a bug in your youth to where you're very entrepreneurial and able to really continue that throughout your education and now as a clinician. But we forgot one really important thing, Brian, and that is your favorite band as you were growing up here.
Yeah, and I know this I guess dates everybody, right, is when they talk about their favorite band. I got to say, there's probably two. One would be Third Eye Blind, and I've followed them for a long time, and then Incubus as well. And they're both, you know, alternative rock bands in California, started in California, and that's obviously where I grew up was initially was in Santa Cruz, California. So nice surfing town on the coast, if anybody's ever been there.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. That's good music right there. So you and I have talked about this offline previously, and that is the pace at which we're transforming. So everyone talks about digital transformation. Are we transforming fast enough?
You know, that's a really good question, because I think for me, there's two parts to it. You know, there's one part, which is, are we keeping up with, you know, consumer demand, right? Are we keeping up with what our patients want? And in that respect, I would say we've got some work to do. But then there's the other part of healthcare, which is kind of it's a hard part, because it's dissimilar from other industries. And it's, are we doing right by our patients? And so I would say the first part, just to talk about the consumerism part, you know, I think that healthcare has a lot to learn from other industries. And I think you and I, we've talked about this before off air, about how there are a lot of similarities in other industries in how they could be utilized to push healthcare further along in this idea of providing consumer-centric care and improving connectivity. And I think part of that are some other areas that really are in need of of really contemporization, expanding personalized health data and access to it, interconnectivity between health systems and how they use that personalized health data. And so I think those are some big parts that really do need us to really work, I think, with people outside of healthcare to help us push the envelope further. Now, the other part of kind of doing right by our patients, it really gets down to, are we using the digital healthcare resources and the tools to improve the actual health of our patients? Are we using these sorts of bits of data that we're collecting? Is it coming back that we're actually improving health outcomes? So, you know, are patients getting healthier? Are blood pressure rates, you know, improved in patients when they have a digital connection, remote patient monitoring, for example? There's lots of examples there that I think that in that respect, we want to make sure that we're moving quickly, but we also want to make sure that we're doing it for the right reasons and that we're using the data that in many cases just simply hasn't been there up until recently, the data to help move along in the right ways. Because, and I think I've talked about this before, moving along the continuum of digital health and using more digital health technologies and tools, I think it's going to be a natural thing. It's going to be something that patients want. But we also need to make sure that we're using it in the right way, so it's improving patients' health outcomes and not just sort of using digital because digital is there. And so it's a little bit of a complex answer, but I think that is needed to really ensure that we're not doing things that are unnecessary or duplicative for our patients.
No, those are really good points and things to keep in mind. And let's say, Brian, you know, you're the medical director there of Things Digital. What if you were CEO? What else might you do? Now, I know we're talking hypothetically here. We're not talking about university hospitals specifically, mm-hmm. but in general, you're suddenly the CEO of a big health system, you know, kind of like university hospitals, to teach, to heal, to discover. And how would you go about sort of encouraging the adoption of a lot of these digital technologies that are, like you said, doing the right things for the right reasons for the patients?
I think that first off, university hospitals, we do have an excellent leadership team here. So much of this, you know, it's being done. I think if I were CEO of a separate health system, you know, that I was running, I would take a lot of the ideas behind, you know, consumerism and expanding that personalized health data that I mentioned, as well as using advanced analytics and healthcare algorithms to really build a system that provides the data and the metrics that we need. And that would be kind of the North Star there. It would be using data and metrics that we design based on, you know, all this data that's going to start coming back to us here in the coming years from this expansion of telehealth. And I think the other part of it is that as CEO, I would want to surround myself with individuals who have that insight into digital health and the utilization of it, as well as an insight into sort of the way that a system runs and a way that a health system runs. I think those would be sort of the two vital things. So it really comes down to, you know, ensuring the governance structures are built in, where digital is really a part of the strategy from top to bottom, from C-level down to, you know, digital health coordinators to make sure that's built in. And then I think finally would be, in many ways right now, a lot of health systems are trying to figure out, well, how does digital fit into our strategy? And how, what does our digital strategy look like? And part of that is, you know, coming up with the right programs and developing the right sort of ways to monitor them and those metrics that I mentioned. But I think there's a third piece that is missing in many cases is the actual implementation of these digital programs. And I think often it's something that can kind of get lost in the weeds of when we start thinking about digital strategy. Well, who are the teams that are going to implement the strategy? And really, how do we build that into the health systems? And so that's an area that I think is ripe for innovation on how that looks. And it may look different in different health systems. Some may have a dedicated implementation team. Others, it may be collaboration. But I think leadership there would be very important.
Yeah, Brian, that's a great point. In the last year, I think we've done a lot to really develop some strategy based on what's happened with COVID, that we're including that in the governance, but yet it's the implementation piece that's often the sort of that last mile where a lot of challenges happen. So how do you go about as a clinician and again, sort of an entrepreneurial, great ideas, and let's just say you got the strategy worked out, in terms of how do you work with IT? So a lot of our audience is our chief digital officers across health and life sciences and other leaders, probably with the title of digital. And how should they best work with clinicians such as yourself?
Yes, I think that's a really great question because, admittedly, it can always be a source of friction, right, between IT and then clinicians. And so I think clinician leaders, if we're to take it from their perspective, I think clinician leaders really need to step back from their sort of what is often a very narrow field of view is it's their patient population and look at it on sort of a wider lens. And that's something that I think CDOs and other leaders on the IT side can be helpful in providing that sort of frame of reference that not all of the patient populations are the same. And so considering the differences there and considering sort of a wider view and at university hospitals, we think of it sort of as the idea of systemness, and that when you come to the sort of medical directors or CIO with ideas, it has to be appropriately vetted and appropriately understood on the idea of, is this something that provides value for the entire system? And is it something that is not duplicative of something we already have? And once I think clinician innovators and leaders have that sort of frame of reference, it helps a lot in collaborating and determining of what do we need to charge down and make happen, and really what needs further thought. So that's, I think, that one of the biggest barriers I think would be helpful if people sort of rallied around that idea of collaboration.
Yeah, those are really good practical ideas. And I want to ask another one. Now, I know that, as we mentioned, University Hospitals, you have excellent leadership from the top on down and excellent CIO there that you can work with. But let's just say that you're in another health system where you don't really have that yet. And so how do you go about bringing all the key stakeholders together, and who are they? So are we sometimes missing some key stakeholders? Who would you recommend, bringing into that whole thought process and strategy and implementation?
Yeah, so we have I think I've mentioned before, a sort of multidisciplinary group that we often bring together at university hospitals. There's a number of different fields and leaders that are usually part of these groups of individuals from the standpoint of executive digital health strategic decisions. The first group is operational leaders across the system. So, we're thinking about our a lot of our consumer centered operational folks, whether it's a COO or otherwise. The second group that we have are IT folks, and so obviously that's a big part of coming together, and that's what that's many people have that, so that's not surprising. The third side would be actually be our legal and compliance teams. We often have them on the phone for many of these decisions, because as you know, that the sort of legal compliance side can really make a big decision of whether or not this is something that goes forward or not. Fourthly, we have we have actually a venture team, which is sort of our business development team, to see if the ideas that we're coming up with internally may have some outside vendor that provides something similar for a much lower cost, or if the ideas we're coming up with have some applicability to, you know, outside our system. And then beyond that, we have a couple other groups that will be a part of us. One would be our revenue cycle team to ensure that the that it's making financial sense of what's being brought forth. And then the final group is our actual digital health team. And so we will often oversee the whole process and ensure that that we're getting all of the needed data, we're getting opinions from everybody in the room, and that we're following up regularly on these sorts of things. So those are sort of the core teams that we have. And recently what we've done is we've taken all those teams and we basically have a regular cadence of meeting, and we meet every 2 weeks and review new programs that are coming in, as well as we'll plan to review old programs that we need to follow along and ensure that everything's working together. So I think it's going to work well for us.
Yeah, those are great, because I think sometimes organizations leave some of those groups out, and as a result, they end up having to do a lot of rework, or they go way down the path and find out they can't do things, or it's duplicative, or what happens. So that's a really good example. And I would also add, of course, the patient perspective. And I know in our very first pod that we dropped, we had a patient advocate and just talking about, hey, engage patients right up front in everything that you can do, because obviously they're in most cases, right, unless it's something very specific for clinicians or some other stakeholder, they're the ones that are going to be the beneficiaries. And so the closer you can include them, the better. So Brian, as we headed to our last minute of our pod, I want to just really open it up to you. Any message that you would have for, again, our audience who consists of primarily digital leaders across pharma and payers and providers and life sciences in general, any final thoughts when it comes to clinicians and all things digital?
So I think a lot of it I've kind of put out there thus far. I think the thing I would add is just more emphasis in that I really think it takes a team to really figure out digital. And a single department, a single group is really going to be difficult, because digital really spans the entire continuum here of healthcare now. And I think as we get further into things, the governance structures become more mature across health systems, that this is going to be a common theme, is that, there needs to be a point person for digital, but it really is going to involve everybody. And the concern obviously is that, then it can become, fragmented and difficult. But as long as, I think, if you have some strong leadership and a core team that is involved in not just strategizing, but implementing the solutions, and ensuring that those at the top, and the CEO, I think, needs to be a big part of it, has really regular interaction with the digital teams, and this idea of collaboration amongst all these sort of different departments and entities of healthcare system. I just think that's really key to ensure that we're going to be successful in much of this digital transformation in the coming years.
Yeah, Brian, I love, if I can recap our time together, it's really about the team of teams approach. And it's not just because you have digital in your title doesn't make, it doesn't mean that you do everything. Obviously, it takes this broader team. And the second thing related to that I love what you said, is the CEO has to be engaged. So the digital transformation is not an IT thing and not a digital thing. It really is an organizational healthcare transformation. And as a result, requires, for the best opportunity for success, is the CEO. And I do have one other thing too, because you stressed on it a couple times, and I think it bears repeating, because it's that last mile, it's the implementation. And so it's great to have strategies and pontificate about all things digital, but you have to have the ability to execute. And that's when you really start making the difference in people's lives and in healthcare in general. So Brian, thank you again for being a guest, our first time webinar and now on our pod. Always super insightful. Keep up the great work that you all do at University Hospitals, serving your patients. And I just, again, love the mission of to teach, to heal, to discover. It's, I think, the best one out there. So thanks, Brian. And we'll talk to everyone on our next pod.
Thank you for listening to Digital Voices Podcast with Ed Martin. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe on your preferred streaming service and leave a rating and review. And most importantly, thanks again for listening.